Hello, everyone. This is your old chief quizzer himself, Joe Kelly, presenting America's Famous Quiz Kids. And here's your first question, Quiz Kids. Why would the Woodman and the Wizard of Oz be an appropriate guest on this particular program today? And while you're all thinking about that, I want to welcome you listeners to the Quiz Kids 10th anniversary broadcast. Yes, sir. Our first program went on the air just 10 years ago this week, and we're very, very proud of that record. Well, let's get things started around here with Roll Call, Quiz Kids. And by the way, here's an idea. Instead of giving your present age, as you usually do, tell us how old you were when the Quiz Kids program started. Okay, here we go with Roll Call. Patrick?
I am Patrick Owen Conlon, and I was 6 years old when I first came on the show, and in fall I'll be a freshman at Calumet High in Chicago.
When the show started, Pat, was
that? Oh, when the show started, I think I was...
Huh?
Three.
Joel?
Well, I'm Joel Kupperman. I'm a junior at Roosevelt High School, and when this show went on the air, I was 4 years old.
4 years old. Sally Ann?
I'm Sally Ann Wilhelm, and when this show started, I was 1 year old, and I will be in seventh grade at Central Junior High School in Elkhart, Indiana.
Melvin?
Well, Mr. Kelly, I'm Melvin Miles, and I think when the show started, I wasn't even born yet.
That's right.
And I go to Nord Park School, and in November I will be passing into second grade.
And you're 7 years old now, aren't you? And last but not least, Mark.
I'm Mark Mullen. When the show went on the air, I wasn't born yet. And I go to the University of Chicago Laboratory School.
When is your birthday, Mark?
July 6th.
Then July 6th. Well, say, at that rate, you just barely missed our first broadcast on the air. Well, that was a lot of fun, wasn't it? All right, back to your first question. Why would the Woodman and the Wizard of Oz be an appropriate guest on this particular program today? Patrick?
Well, he was the Tin Woodman, and I think tin is the symbol for the 10th anniversary.
That's right.
There could be another answer, too, in the form of a pun, because he was a... This is our 10th anniversary or something.
Oh, spoken like an Irishman. The 10th, yes, sir. The 10th anniversary. Nice going, Patty boy, yeah. Now, if you children had helped your mothers plant a flower garden but had chosen seeds that were the names of animals, what collection of animals could you have in your garden? Mark?
I could have a fox for the fox glove. And
fox glove, that's one.
Elephant for the elephant ear.
Elephant ear, two.
Most people call this a weed, but the dandelion.
The dandelion for lion?
And then there's the water, tiger lily.
Tiger lily for tiger. Say, Melvin?
Well, then there's the snapdragon.
For dragon, yes, sir. Well, fine. Mark has thought of another one.
I don't think this plant has flowers, but there is the horse mint.
The horse mint.
Yes, I guess it does have flowers.
Well, fine and dandy. I guess that gives us quite an animal garden there. So we'll get along to our next question. Now, during this last week, kids, there has been discussion in the news about the Schumann plan. Have you quiz kids been following the news closely enough to be able to explain what the Schumann plan is, and do you think it would work? Joel?
Well, the Schumann plan is, in brief, a plan to was originally a plan to pull the resources of Germany and France in their coal and steel production. But after the plan was disclosed, they asked other nations in Western Europe to join in, and several of them, Benelux and I think Italy, joined in. But Britain refused to because they thought that it would endanger their socialist planning. And they'd be controlled by the non-socialist nations in Western Europe. And French and the Germans are to exchange workers and help each other in any way possible.
Well, how do you think that would work out?
Well, I think it would work out pretty much fine because naturally, if both the two nations and the others involved are aiding each other, a lot of difficulties could be smoothed out, and they could aid each other with natural resources that the other nations might not have. So I think it would work out pretty well.
All right, fine, Joel. Thank you. Let's see what Pat pretends.
Well, I think the shoo-in plan is a pretty good idea, and I think in a little time when things get ironed out and everybody seems to be pretty happy about it, I think it'll work out very well.
Well, that's a nice little discussion, kids, and I'm glad to see how you feel about it. Now, I'm going to ask our organist, Lou Webb, to help us with this next question. You're going to hear part of a popular song. You children are to give its title, if you can, and then think of another song whose name begins with the last word in the title of the one you are about to hear. For instance, if you heard the song Three Little Maids from School, you might name our theme song, School Days. Look at all the hands go up. Now, try to get three out of four. All right, Lou, let's have number one. Sally Ann?
Isn't it You Are My Sunshine?
You Are My Sunshine is right. Now we must think of another song whose title starts out with sunshine. Patrick?
Well, that might be Sunshine Cake.
Sunshine Cake, that's the idea. That's very good. Now let's listen to number two. Joel?
That's the Piano Roll Blues.
The Piano Roll Blues, and now then think of a title that starts out with blues. Sally Ann?
Well, I was thinking of the Blue Danube, but that's blue.
Well, that's blue. Of course, I guess we could sort of squeeze that in a little bit. Let's see, Pat have
it. Oh, there's the Blues in the Night.
Blues in the Night. That's the one I was thinking of. Now here's number three. Why, say, sounds like one of those tiger lilies down loose in the garden there. Patrick?
Oh, that's the tiger rag.
So, it is.
And, let's see, rag mop.
Rag mop, attaboy. And here's the last one. Melvin?
Well, I think that would be Mr. 5x5.
Mr. 5x5. Now, can you give me the title of another song that starts out with five? How about it? All right, Melvin.
No, listen, I was thinking of something else, Mr. Scary.
Oh, I see. Sally Ann?
5 foot, 2 eyes of blue.
Well, that's very, very good. Very good. That's fine, kids. You got along splendidly on that. Gave me all four of them, as a matter of fact. Now, let's suppose we have a good old hot rabbit in Chicago. What am I saying? We have and are having. And well, anyway, we wish to serve the following people a cool drink. What might we appropriately serve them? For instance, we might serve a cheerleader root beer. Rooting section. You get the idea? Now, you must get two out of three on this. What would we serve a golfer? A cool drink. Joel?
Tea.
Iced tea. Uh-huh. And how about a nurse? What would we serve a nurse? A cool drink. Mark?
Kool-Aid.
Kool-Aid. Very good.
Oh.
Kool-Aid. How do you like that? What would we serve father? Patrick?
Well, that'd be Pop.
Pop is right. Good boy. Now, kids, the number 57 is well known in an advertising slogan, but just why has it been brought to our attention in the scientific world recently? Patrick?
Well, I think there was a new microscope was invented by Dr. Muller, I think it was last week, and on it was photographed the smallest molecule ever seen, and it was 57 atom molecule of something called thiocyanine. I think that's how you pronounce it.
Close enough. That's very good, Patrick. Very, very good. That certainly shows you kids are really on your toes in more ways than one. Now, this question is about two creatures in literature, Pimpinella and Pussycat, who both went to London. Now, just why did each one go to that city? Mark?
Pimpinella went to London to sing in the Canary Opera, and Pussycat went to London to see the Queen.
That's very good, Mark. Yes, sir. All right. You know, kids, since this is our 10th anniversary, as Pat said a while ago, I'm going to start down the line and see how many important events you quiz kids can name that took place during the last 10 years. Who would like to start this off? Patrick?
Well, I know the important event, maybe one of the most important, was when we were in the war and we went around touring the country selling war bonds. I remember that very well, and I like to think that we helped our country in the war that way.
All right, Patrick. And Sally Ann's next.
Well, a lot of young quiz kids were born during the 10 years. That would be important.
Right. Yeah. Uh-huh. And Joel?
Well, we went on television during that 10-year period.
Say, we did, didn't we? Uh-huh. And we're still on, too, aren't we? No. Mark, how about you? Mark?
I can't think of it.
Oh, you can't think of anything of importance that happened during the 10 years we've been on the air? Well, of course, you became a quiz kid, didn't you?
Yeah.
Oh, well, wasn't that important?
Well...
Huh? I'm afraid Mark is a little modest. Well, we'll see what Melvin has to say.
Well, this is something that was pretty important. I know I was born then, too, and I also started to be a quiz kid. And I was born during the 10 years, I believe.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure about that, though.
Well, you're not.
Well, I think Joe would better help me out after that.
What'd you say, Melvin?
Joe better help me out for that.
Oh, you mean mathematically, huh? I get it. That's cute. Sally Ann?
Well, a few months ago, I think we had the 500th radio broadcast.
Say, that's right, we did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was very important to us, huh? Patrick?
Well, I don't know if this is important. I can think of some humorous episodes that happened, like the time Ralph Edwards was on the show and he threw pies in the face of several boy quiz kids on the show at the time.
Yeah.
I don't know if we enjoyed that.
Yes. That wasn't very important to him, though. He got it on the back of his neck, didn't he? Oh, boy. Well, I guess a lot of major events have taken place in the last 10 years. It is a decade that we'll always remember. Of course, there were many sad memories in the decade, but the happy memories for me, kids, mostly were woven around the many good times I've had with all you quiz kids. In the 10 years we've been on the air, there have been 372 of you, 372 different quiz kids. And you've been asked 6,108 questions and have answered 5,437 correctly, an average of 89% correctly answered. When you remember how hard those questions were, that's a wonderful record. And you listeners, bless your hearts, have written us 3,417,600 letters. And in all that time, we've had the same wonderful sponsor, the Miles Laboratories of Elkhart, Indiana, and we will have the same sponsor again next fall. Well, sir, I think that is worth celebrating, don't you? Say, how about our singing Happy Birthday to Us? I'll tell you, Lou Webb, will you start us off then? All right, here we go.
Happy birthday.
Coming, would you? A great big birthday cake with 10 big candles on it. And let's see, it says here on the cake, Happy Birthday from NBC. And so what? Oh, isn't that nice? Now, while I'm cutting this big old birthday cake for all of us, I'm going to ask Pat Conlon to read a poem he wrote for this special occasion. Are you all set, Pat?
I am, since I get this thing.
All right, fine.
I'm foiled here. Let's tune in our sets to 10 years ago. Let's get Joe Kelly on the first Quiz Kid show. To the startled ears of each skeptical listener, Gerard Darrow explained just what was a tarsier. Joan Bishop hit high notes, and young Van Dyke Tears explained chemical fission to all of his peers. In just a short time, the kids had a call, and to Hollywood went, the short and the tall. The Marx Brothers, Bing, and I don't mean a cherry, Jack Benny and Rochester helped them make merry. Fred Allen, of course, would not be outdone, And so on his show, they had lots of fun. Joel Kupperman loved him. Now, don't think me uncouth. To show his devotion, he sent Fred a tooth. Time marches on, and so did those quiz kids of yore, from Washington State to New England shore. They sold thousands of war bonds, and then sold some more. The Senate saluted them right from the floor. But we met our match in Quizmaster Bob Hope, when we couldn't identify the name Penelope. Then there was a time when we got a big hand, when we chose Tommy Dorsey as our favorite band. As we spoke on the air, how could we know that Jimmy was scheduled to appear on that show? Ralph Edwards as Quizmaster caught every eye. All that we caught was lemon cream pie. So as we turn our memories back, we hear Harvey, Richard, Cynthia, Jack, Margaret, Claude, Ruthie, all of them say, good luck to the quiz kids on this 10th birthday. Then they add this advice to the quiz kids still growing. Don't look now, but your IQ is showing.
Oh, that was fine, Pat. That was just super dandy. Yes, sir. Your report, you don't know it and you don't show it. Thanks a lot. Well, I guess we've had a nice recess, and we ought to call class to order for more questions. So here we go. If you were in charge of stage scenery for the Metropolitan and got an order for making the following, would you have any idea of what opera it would be for? 2 out of 3 on this. First, you would have an order for a pagoda and a couple of drum bridges. Joel?
Would that be Madame Butterfly?
Madame Butterfly by Puccini, that's right. Next, you would have to make the interior of a tomb. Sally Ann?
Well, that would be Aida by Giuseppe Verdi.
That's right, my dear girl. Uh-huh. Next, you have to build a smuggler's cave. Patrick?
Well, that'd be for Carmen.
Carmen by Bizet. Nice going, kids. You know, June is said to be the month of brides, and is also the courting month for many of our little feathered friends. Can you describe the interesting courtship of any particular bird, Melvin?
Well, there's the Argus pheasant, I believe.
Argus pheasant, that's right.
It clears the ground where it's real level, a spot in the ground, and there's not one leaf, and clears all the grass until it's just even, and then it struts around and shows off for its mate.
That's just what happens, Melvin. Mark?
I think the meadowlark, I'm not sure. It might be another one of those ground birds. Beats on the ground with his wings and sounds like drums to attract the attention of females.
Well, now, do you think that's the meadowlark?
No, I don't.
You don't, huh? What do you think it is? Patrick?
Well, I don't know why that might remind me of a grouse.
That's right. It's the ruffed grouse that Mark was thinking about. Mm-hmm. Now, kids, I've asked Richard Weixler, quiz kid Richard Weixler, to help us out on this question. Richard will portray a person who finds himself in a situation similar to one described in an Aesop fable. And you kids are to quote a proverb or a moral to a fable that might apply to the situation. All right, Dickie, let's have the first one.
Well, say, I guess it's easy enough for you to say you're not afraid of schoolwork because you're only in kindergarten and don't have to pass tests. But I just took my last exam, and I'm sure scared to death.
Melvin?
Well, that wouldn't be easy to say things when you're not in danger.
Well, that's
easy
pretty,
to
well,
be brave
it's
when
easy
you're
to
not
be
in
brave,
danger.
Yeah, that's right. And the story, what's that?
I believe that's the pig and the sheep.
That's a boy. That's right. Uh-huh. Well, let's listen to Richard as he gives us this next one.
No, I guess I've got a pretty good collection of marbles. After I play Jim and Tom for keeps and get all of their marbles, I'll have more marbles than you can count, almost.
Melvin?
Don't count your chickens before they hatch.
That's a boy. That's right, Melvin. That's right. A while ago, kids, we had a discussion on the important events that have taken place in the last 10 years while we've been on the air. If we are on the air for 10 more years, what major events do you think might take place during that time? We're speaking in the world in general. Well, we'll start off with Mark.
Well, are you speaking of what we might do or what the...
No, what might be taking place?
Well, Russia might attack the United States, so we might attack them. And we may... And we may go to the moon.
We may go to the moon. Uh-huh. And, Joel?
Well, pardon me, but I think I'd rather doubt Mark's first conclusion.
Oh,
also,
you do?
I think that in the next 10 years, probably, there'll be an invention of a device that'll enable us. Now we have telephones that that let us speak to our neighbors, and then we'll have sort of, dial a number, and then you can see the person you're talking to as well as talk to them.
Say, won't that be dandy, huh? And Sally Ann?
Well, if we keep fussing around with uranium bombs, we might blow each other up.
Yeah, well, let us hope that that won't happen. Patrick?
Well, I hope we get more popular on television, so maybe Mr. Kelly someday will be Mr. Television himself.
Oh, thank you, pal. Oh, dear, dear. Oh, Pat, you're my boy. That was very sweet of you to say that. Melvin, how about you?
Well, Mr. Kelly, I think a lot of things will, of course, be happening. Maybe we'll be broadcasting from different places, and maybe we might go to New York again, or a lot of things could be happening. Like Joel says, we might be going up in a rocket to the moon or something.
You mean broadcasting from a rocket?
Well, I don't know about broadcasting, but we might have a thrilling trip up to the moon in a rocket.
Yeah, I don't think we'd have time to answer any questions, Lucy.
We'd get up there.
All sound very interesting, kids. Now, here's a math problem. Oh, boy, and it's a doozer. So let's try it. A photographer, in checking over his work of the week, noticed that while he had used the same number of flash bulbs each day, he had started on Sunday by using 1/8 of his supply plus 1/8 of a bulb. Monday, 1/7 of his remaining flash bulbs plus 1/7 of a bulb. Tuesday, 1/6 of the remaining supply plus 1/6 of a bulb, and so on, ending on Saturday by using 1/2 of his remaining supply plus 1/2 of a bulb. What is the least number of bulbs he used each day? Joel?
Well, let's see. When he started out, before the first day, he'd have to have... multiple of 8 minus 1. And the second day, because he's using a 7th minus the 7th, he'd have to have a multiple of 7 minus 1, and so forth. So altogether, the least common number to have started out with would have been the least common multiple of all the numbers between 2 and 8. And that would be 8, let's see, times 7, times 5, times 3. That would be 56, 280, 840, minus 1, that would be 839. And if you used an 8th plus an 8th, that would be 105 the first day. And let's see, the second day, it'll be a 7th, that'll be 100, well, that he'd be left 734, that'll be 105 again. So the least number he'd use every day would be 105 all the way through.
That's wonderful, Joel. That's right. 105 off each day. That's very, very good, Joel. Now, kids, what did these two men have in common? Theseus of Greek mythology and Escamillo, found in opera. What did they have in common? Patrick?
Well, Escamillo was a bullfighter, and
that's
Theseus
right.
Killed a bull, too.
That's right. They were both, they both fought bulls. Uh-huh. Now then, a while ago I said I hope we would be celebrating our 20th birthday on NBC, and now let's think a moment about your own personal 20th birthday. Where would you like to be, and what would you like to be doing when your 20th birthday rolls around? Pat?
Well, I'd like to be at home, gathered around a comfortable cake, very comfortable. And I'd like to have the relatives around, you know, and just have a good time. I wouldn't want to go anywhere in particular, just...
Just sort of a...
homey scene, yeah.
A home party, like,
that's right.
Huh? Big old time. Fine. Sally Ann?
Well, when I'm 20 years old, I hope that I'm in college somewhere.
You hope you're in college? Well, I certainly hope you get your hope. Yes, sir? And, Mark, how about you?
Well, I think if I had old relatives or a lot of people that I knew, I'd like to be in South America. Of course, I'd be a little bit too young, maybe on my 30th birthday.
Oh. Well, why would you like to be in South America, Mark?
Because I'd like to explore.
Oh, you like to explore. I see. Joel?
Well, my wish is just about the same as Pat's, to be at home with my friends and relatives around.
Celebrating, I see. And let's see what Melvin has to say.
Well, Mr. Kelly, I hope to be a very successful doctor when I get big.
A very successful doctor. Well, of course, Melvin, I might give you a little advice. You know, you have to have a lot of patience to be a doctor. Oh, what am I saying? Oh, dear. Well, I hope you realize your ambition, Melvin. I'm sure you will, because you're a fine little boy. Now, tell me, what two different things spelled with the same four letters leave a sinking ship at sea? Two different things spelled with the same four letters leave a sinking ship at sea. Now, Joel?
Well, they always say rats leave sinking.
That is kind of a hard thing to say there, Joel.
I suppose the only thing I can think of offhand that's spelled with the same letter would be star.
No, you're close. You're warm, though. This really applies to an English type of ship.
Arts?
Huh? No. No, now, R-A-T-S. Now, you unscramble those and spell something else. So I just heard somebody in the audience. Now, you mustn't coach the kids, all right? Can you think of it? Pat?
Well, that might be TARS if it was an English vessel.
TARS, sailors. Yeah. That's right, T-A-R-S for sailors. Well, there is our bell. Mm-hmm. And that means school is over for this afternoon, kids. The judges will have your scores in just a moment. But win or lose, each of you youngsters will receive a $100 United States savings bond to apply on your future education. Now, while we're waiting for the scores, I want to thank all you listeners who have made it possible for us to stay on the air for all these years. You're the most important part of this program, and we've certainly appreciated the friendship with you folks. Well, let's see. Now, here are the report cards. And let's check them more. Well, you didn't miss a single question today. That's very good. As a matter of fact, that's excellent. And let's see, your individual card show, taking your age into account, of course. Patrick was first, Mark second, and Joel and Melvin tied for third. So you four, I'll see back in school next Sunday to compete with Marlene Richmond, age 14. And we hope all you listeners will be back in school next week, too. So until next Sunday, then, this is Joe Kelly dismissing the quiz kids. Goodbye, kids.
Bye.
Bye, Mr. Kelly.
Get your programs here. Be on hand tonight to welcome two new shows to your Sunday lineup. First, Tex Williams, young singing star, begins his Western Caravan show with Western adventure stories. Then, A New Idea in Mysteries, $1,000 reward, offers alert listeners a chance to win $1,000 if they can solve a weekly whodunit with the clues provided in the show. And here's a delightful combination, Album of Familiar Music and Bob Crosby, tonight on NBC.